Okay. So we're going to focus on this one aspect of tefillah tonight, which Rav Kook introduces in Darkei Pe'ulas HaTefillah L'Yachav L'Tzibur here in Osvav. He tells a story, so I want to share the story and then reflect on this story from two other places where we're going to encounter a very similar concept and circle back. So Rav Kook tells a story, it's a Gemara in Brachos, where Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa went to learn, he went to study with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And the Gemara describes that the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai fell ill. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Rebbe, said to his Talmud, Chanina b'ni bakesh olav rachmin. He said, you, my son, Chanina, you should daven for my son. So, he niach rosho ben birkov, he put his head between his knees, ubikish olav rachmin. And Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, by the way, of course, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was known to be an incredible superhuman tzaddik and a miracle worker. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa davens, and immediately the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is healed. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai follows with an editorial comment saying, Il mole hitiach ben Zakkai is rosh ben birkov kol yom kulo lo hayu mashgichin olav. He says, I could have davened all day, and I'm his Rebbe. And the Rebbe Shalom wouldn't have answered me. So his wife said to him, I don't know what she called him, Yochanan, she probably didn't call him Rebbe Yochanan ben Zakkai, but whatever she called him, she says, what do you mean? Is Chanina greater than you? V'chi Chanina gadol mimcha, says the Gemara. Omar la lav, no, he's not. Ella, who dome ke'eved lefnei ha'melech, va'ani dome ke'sar lefnei ha'melech. We have a different relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what exactly is this distinction in the relationship between Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in terms of the effectiveness and the impact of tefillah? So Rav Kook has a beautiful mahalach here, which we can reflect on in light of a different piece, before we get to this piece in Rav Kook, that it's an idea that I did not have a chance to look up, but it stuck with me from a long time ago. I believe it's a beautiful piece from Rav Shlomo Fisher in the Beis Yishai. Shlomo Fisher is one of the greatest gedolim still living in Yerushalayim. He was the Rosh Hashiva in Itri for many, many years, decades. And he's kind of the quiet gadol, but for people who are, familiar with his Torah, he's really an exceptional, outstanding Talmud Chacham. And he made an observation that I never paid attention to quite, and that is that, I don't know if we noticed this, but the Aron is actually separate from the lid called the Kaporis. I don't know how often we realize that the Aron and the Kaporis are actually two different Kalim. Right, we think of the Aron as a box, but it's only the bottom of a box. Like imagine a children's toy that holds like the smaller pieces of boxes and smaller boxes and smaller boxes. The Aron was a box that had no top. The Kaporis has a separate tzivui. You notice that? It has a separate command. If you look in Parshas Truma, we learned last week, the Kaporis is treated not as, well, there's the Aron, and then the Aron has a cover. Like the Aron has badim, it has poles. The poles go with the Aron. Shkoyach, I get that. They are accoutrements of the Aron. But the Kaporis is treated differently. The Kaporis is not just the cover for the Aron. The Kaporis is a kli in and of itself. It's a kli, its own independent vessel. The Kaporis. What is the Kaporis comprised of? It's comprised of a thick piece of gold, and part of that is a set of kruvim that are fashioned out of the top of the Kaporis. So the Kaporis is a separate entity. The Kaporis is the piece with the kruvim. And the mitzvah is to take the kruvim with the piece, the whole Kaporis, and put it on top of the Aron. So how would you how would you look at this in this respect? You know, if you, it's one thing if you see that the kaporis is just a hechetim, it's just a covering for the arm, but it's clearly not. No, not only that, where is the hashras hashchina in the Beis HaMikdash? Where does God, the Ribon Shalom, Avinu Shebashamayim, where does he speak to us from? Where, if you're precise?
Kruvim?
Yes. Mi bein shnei hakruvim. So, I remember from many years ago, I saw this vart and it had such a profound ha'ara, and such an impact. Rav Shlomo Fisher suggested that there's a difference between the moach and the lev. The intellect and the emotion and the experience. What's inside the Aron? The Aron has the Luchos, it has the Sefer Torah, it has the Moach, it has the mind. And what's the Kaporis represent? The Regish, the feeling, the embrace, the emotion, the affect. Where does the Ribbono Shel Olam really connect with us? In an experiential manner? Where do we hear his voice as a living sound in our lives? On the Kaporis. Yes, the word, Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the word of Hashem Yisbarach, is in the Aron. But the Hergish, the feeling of Hashem Yisbarach, that is on the Kaporis. How about that for Yisod? So now, before we get back to this piece from Rav Kook, let's share a different piece. Rav Kook has a commentary. Some of you are familiar. Rav Kook wrote a remarkable commentary, and I have to say I'm not very knowledgeable in the writings of Rav Kook, but from what I have learned, it's very interesting that his commentary on the Gemara, he has a series of Sfarim on the Agadatol called Ein Ayah, the Eye of Avram Yitzchak HaKohen. Rav Kook's Ein Ayah is actually, for a common man like me, much more accessible and much more direct, readable, understandable. A lot of Orot and the comments of Rav Kook in general are very ethereal, they're very spiritual, whereas Ein Ayah is much more plain poshut for a Hamonam type of person like me. It's very direct, it's very down to earth. So the Ein Ayah has an interesting comment. The Gemara says in the beginning of Brachos that lo aleinu, there's something called Yisurin. Now, the Gemara is talking about it in a positive way, suffering. The Ribbono Shel Olam directs Yisurin for specific reasons. And the Gemara talks about whether something qualifies as Yisurin Shel Ava. Yisurin Shel Ava. And what does Yisurin Shel Ava have to do with the context of that Gemara? So the Gemara is discussing, you know, a sequence of a person interpreting things that happen to him. And then at the end, the Gemara says, well, you know, Yisurin Shel Ava, it depends on whether that Yisurin is impeding your davening, God forbid, or your learning. The Gemara has two different perspectives on this. So Rav Kook says, well, what does it mean that Yisurin is impeding a person's davening and a person's learning, or a person's learning? How does that play out? And you know, lo aleinu, the Pius Etzner in the Eish Kodesh, the Holy Pius Etzner, Hashem Yikom Damos Chosikon Aleinu, he talks about how the suffering of the Jews and the terrible persecution they were under in the ghetto was impeding their Avodas Hashem. You know, he puts that out there for the Ribbono Shel Olam to remember, to pay attention, give yachol, to remember that. So Rav Kook says, you know, there's a big difference between Torah and Tefillah, because they're two different approaches. And in light of what Rav Shlomo Fisher remarked about the Aron and the Kaporis, what would you say? Now we're going to utilize the fancy technology that we have here to poll the audience. Where would you say is the difference in the approach of the Limud of Torah versus the approach of Tefillah? Who wants to chime in? I want to see if this thing really works.
Looking for text answers or for talking?
theoretical answer. Where would you line up? If the Kaporis is the Avoda of the Lev and the Aron is the Avoda of the Moach, so where would you put Torah and Tefillah?
I guess Torah is Moach and, Avoda is Lev.
Yeah. 10 points for Dr. Katzman's team. That's what Rav Kook says. He says, look, different people and different... What's that?
Sorry, go ahead.
Different people and different times in our lives and different kufus and different aspects are reflected in these two modes of hiskashrus, of connecting to the Borei Olam. There's the mode of the Moach, the Torah, and then there's the mode of the Hergish, of the tefillah, of the feeling. And that's how he breaks down. I don't want to get into the application there for Yisur and Shalava, but that's the distinction that he makes. Okay? So with that in mind, we can really appreciate this beautiful pshat that Rav Kook gives in the Gemara, the story in the Gemara in Brachos. So he says, and I'll read out some of the words. Next time I could take a screenshot of this and email it. How about that? That would be cool. But let's, one thing at a time. I'm holding the book. You know, there's nothing like a book. So he says, Yesh derech avoda sichlis. There is a derech of the intellectual, the seichel, the mind. Sheha adam mishalech al piya bedarkei Hashem. That through that, a person walks and goes in that path, in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yesh avoda tluya b'yoser behergish hatov. And others have a path that is inclined more toward the feeling, the hergish. Now, he points out, this is a little bit of a nuance, shneim nichlolim b'chlal lev tov. He says both of them are inclined, included in the lev, but the idea, the distinction we were drawing between moach and lev, I think is still real. He says, Hasechel HaTov HaMiti is on one side, and the Regesh HaTov is on the other side. He says, a person who is focused on their Sechel, Ein Pe'ulaso Al Yedei HaTfila Mosifa Lo Kol Kach Shlemos Be'etzem Darko Zu. He said, a person whose Mahalach in life is more focused on the Moach, then what's going to fuel that? Torah. But a person, habocher b'derech hahergish, a person who, and notice by the way how Rav Kook says, it's habocher. A person has to choose. It's not that you are, you know, you are prescribed in one particular path. Each one of us has a particular tchuna nafshis, so we need to choose for ourselves. It's not that one excludes the other, but it's going to be one that's the primary mover. There are some people who, it's foisted on them, one mahalach, and they resent that. Why do they resent it? Because Pnimius, they realize that's not me. That's not who I am. And they don't realize that they have a choice. The Rebbe Shlomo says, we have a choice. It's not one size fits all. You have to figure out what's your mahalach. You know, some people, we had Motsoi Shabbos, some of you were there, we had this mamish, magnificent, beautiful kumsitz. For some people, they're allergic to that. You know, the extent of nigunim that they like is v'hu rachum. That's like their favorite nigun. You know, like that's, and if you're like that, gesundheit, gesundheit, it's no problem. No one's, you know, that's what you're bocher. And if you're bocher that mahalach, then going to a kumsitz, it just makes you cranky. You know, it's not your thing. And so for that, he suggests, tefillah as an experience, that's not mosif so much shlemus for you in your derech. Aval habocher b'derech hahergish. Then tefillah has a huge role in facilitating. Ideally, tefillah is like that powerful kumsitz, and it propels us forward. So those of us who are predisposed for that ruchnias, and I would say in today's day and time and age, most of us maybe need more than maybe the year they needed in Volozhin. I don't know. I can't speculate. But I'm just saying that it plays a very important role. And so he says, the tefillah's mosif lo kol kach, it's aiding and helping that person. And therefore, says Rav Kook HaChiddush, if that's your mahalach, and then you use the rocket fuel, the potent koach of tefillah, what's going to happen? Misayeh lo hatefillah v'hiskablusa laharamas matzav avodaso v'al kein tiskabel b'yoser. That can create a more effective, meaningful tefillah experience. So even though, says Rav Kook, if you want to talk about objective standards, what is more, quote-unquote, important? The Aron or the Kaporis? The Aron has the Torah Kedosha. It has the Luchos. So in one measure, says Rav Kook, yes, it's true that the Avoda of the Seichel, the intellect, is in a higher plane. Just like the intellect is more powerful and more noble. But kol zeh, nonetheless, pu'ulas hatfila tira lamisha sum mayono betaras haregesh. The focus of tfila, I don't want to say it's deeper, because that's, but I think that's what he's saying. Yes, the intellect, the Torah is higher, but the hergish, that pu'ula of somebody who wants to create that feeling, l'romeim rucho b'shvicha siach, to elevate their spirit, pouring out themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'argashas ha'netios ha'tivios l'davka b'Hashem Elokim Chayim, shudome ke'eved l'fnei ha'melech, that the person really is investing all of themselves, they've got no sense of identity except, I'm here to serve. Shema aloso nemucha, yes, the Eved is of lower standing when it comes to the Tsar, but at the same time, nemichas hamaila tekariv es hafokas pu'ulas hamavukash. That sense of devotion, of feeling connected, of feeling a part of something, that, says Rav Kook, is the elevation and the mila of the Eved over the Tsar. So now we come back to the story where we started. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says to his wife, he says, look, I am the Gadol in Torah here. I am the Gadol of the Moach. I am the Aron. So I'm like the Tsar. I'm of senior stature. But I know that there's another Koach here. And by the way, what an incredible insight into the godless of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to recognize that his own student had a Koach that was different from his and that was a complementary Koach, not a competing Koach. But he says to his wife, my student, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, his avoda is the avoda of the Eved, of the Regesh, of the Kaporis, of the feeling close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know what happens? The Tsar, he has to make an appointment. You know, when do the ministers meet? They meet at regular intervals. You have a cabinet meeting. When it's the cabinet meeting, you come into the meeting, you meet, you talk, you put in your request, you have forms. But the Eved, the person who is the personal guard, the chauffeur, you know, he has the ear of the king all the time. And he could just lean in. He is straightening up the desk in the king's palace. When the king is sitting on the couch, you know, minding his own business, having a few personal moments, the Eved can come in. The Eved just knocks and says, you know, I'm here to make sure that the desk is straightened up for you, sir. And he could say, you know, I have a little need. I have a little tzorech. And they have this special intimate bond, an intimate connection. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sees in Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And that, says Rav Kook, is the koach of tefillah. It's the koach of the lev that brings us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Life is not all about getting all the things that we ask for, right? Tefillah is not a kasbomat. We've talked about that. So it's not that that's the main goal of tefillah. But guess what? If you have that close connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you have kivyachol and in, you have that closer, you know, that ear of the king. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, when I have a sick child, I'm not going to daven. I mean, I'll daven. I'm sure he daven. But he says, I'm going to ask Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. So for us, what does this mean? A, for those of us who feel that regesh as our main objective in Avodas Hashem. So we certainly need to realize that tefillah is a vehicle for us to accomplish that. And for those of us who don't prioritize the regesh, we prioritize the seichel, we need to still understand that the regesh plays a big part of our whole self, that there is a part of regesh. But even beyond that, to recognize, to create for others, and to understand the value of that. So in today's day and age, I suspect that much of what we need to strengthen is actually the tzad haregesh, to have us feel that experience, that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that comes with the experience of tefillah. And so the chiddush of this point, says Rav Kook, is that tefillah is not our goal. It's not our goal that we should have a good davening. Tefillah is our vehicle. You know how we can have a good regesh experience? We can have davening help us. So how many of us take the time to think about how davening can help us with more regesh? If we looked at it that way, how much more meaningful and powerful would our davening be? Because we would use that as a springboard to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we realize that the goal of the davening is to cultivate our regesh and to cultivate our connection and our feeling in Avodas Hashem, perhaps that could enhance and enrich the way that we experience tefillah on a day-to-day basis. Those are I think that's a beautiful insight with multiple components of this piece from Rav Kook and the Olas Raya on tefillah.